Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, texts 1 and 2. Shri Narada Uvacha. Karma nishita dvija kechit. Karma nishita dvija kechit. Taponishta nripapare. Taponishta nripapare. Svadhyayene pravachane. Svadhyayene pravachane. Kechana jnana yogayaho. Kechana jnana yogayaho. The first and second verse and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, "My dear King, some Brahmanas are very much attached to fruitive activities, some are attached to austerities and penances, and still others study the Vedic literature, whereas some, although very few, cultivate knowledge and practice different yogas, especially Bhakti Yoga." Text 2. "A person desiring liberation for his forefathers or himself should give charity to a Brahmana who adheres to impersonal monism, Jnana Nishta. In the absence of such an advanced Brahmana, charity may be given to a Brahmana addicted to fruitive activities, Karma Kanda." Purport. There are two processes by which to get free from material bondage. One involves Jnana Kanda and Karma Kanda, another involves Upasana Kanda. Vaishnavas never want to merge into the existence of the Supreme. Rather, they want to be everlastingly servants of the Lord, to render loving service unto Him. In this verse, the words Anantyam Ichata refer to a person who desire to achieve liberation from material bondage and merge into the existence of the Lord. Devotees, however, whose objective is to associate personally with the Lord, have no desire to accept the activities of Karma Kanda or Jnana Kanda, for pure devotional service is above both Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadya Navritam. In pure devotional service, there is not even a pinch of Jnana and Karma. Consequently, when Vaishnavas distribute charity, they do not need to find a Brahmana performing the activities of Jnana Kanda or Karma Kanda. The best example in this regard is provided by Dvaita Goswami, who after performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father offered charity to Haridas Thakur, although it was known to everyone that Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, not a Brahmana family, and was not interested in the activities of Jnana Kanda or Karma Kanda. Charity, therefore, should be given to the first-class transcendentalist, the devotee, because the devotee because the Shastra recommends. O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.14.5. A Vaishnava is in higher position than a Jnani, and therefore Advaita Acharya selected Haridas Thakur to be the person to accept his charity. The Supreme Lord also says, "Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even though a person born in a family of a dog eaters, he is very dear to me. If he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activity or mental speculation, indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am, Hari Bhakti Vilas. Therefore, even if not born in a Brahmana family, a devotee, because of his devotion to the Lord, is above all kinds of Brahmanas, whether they be Karma Kandis or Jnana Kandis. In this regard, it may be mentioned that Brahmanas in Vrindavan, who are Karma Kandis and Jnana Kandis, sometimes decline to accept invitation to our temple because our temple is known as Angreji Temple or Anglican Temple. But in accordance with the evidence given in the Shastra and example set by Dvaita Acharya, we give prasad to devotees regardless of whether they come from India, Europe or America. It is the conclusion of the Shastra that instead of feeding many Jnana Kandi or Karma Kandi Brahmanas, it is better to feed a pure Vaishnava, regardless of where he comes from. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Apichet sudurachara bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Thus, it doesn't matter whether a devotee comes from a Brahmana family or non-Brahmana family. If he is fully devoted to Krishna, he is a sadhu. Translations. Narada Muni continued, My dear king, some Brahmanas are very much attached to fruitive activities, some are attached to austerities and penances, and still others study the Vedic literature. Whereas some, although very few, cultivate knowledge and practice different yogas, especially bhakti yoga. A person desiring liberation for his forefathers or himself should give charity to a Brahmana who adheres to impersonal monism, jnana nishtha. In absence of such an advanced Brahmana, charity may be given to a Brahmana addicted to fruitive activities, karma kandam. So in previous chapter, Narada Muni describes different kinds, the importance basically of the Brahmanas in the society and Brahmanas itself, describes different qualities of the Brahmanas. And continuing in this 15th chapter, he describes the different kinds of Brahmanas. Here in the first verse itself, it refers basically the Brahmanas who are attached to fruitive activities. It refers to a Brahmanas who are householders. Then he describes the Brahmanas who are attached to austerities and penances. That refers to vanaprastas, Brahmanas who are studying Vedic literature and teaching Vedic literature also, giving different purports of Vedic literature. This refers to brahmacharis and Brahmanas who are practicing different yogas, especially bhakti yoga, that refers to the sannyasis. So there are different kinds of Brahmanas, and basically this verse, and as we will see in the further following verses, description of the different kinds of Brahmanas and their importance actually in the society is described. And ultimately we will understand, even from this purport which Srila Prabhupada is giving here in this particular verse, and later on, as I said, from the verses, that charity given to a Brahmana who is a Vaishnava is the topmost kind of charity, and actually topmost kind of activity that anyone can perform. And from this, therefore, we can conclude, as we have heard also from the purport, from many different kinds of evidences in Shastras, that the Vaishnava, the Brahmana who is a Vaishnava, is actually a topmost Brahmana. That when it refers, of course, to the even from material point of view, that a Vaishnava is the topmost Brahmana. And then what to speak of the spiritual point of view, when we understand that position of a Vaishnava is far, far higher, because Vaishnava means that he understands, he has a knowledge of Vishnu, which is Bhagavan, which is far more superior knowledge than just the knowledge of Brahman, which Brahmana is possessing. So therefore, Vaishnava is far higher in his understanding of the absolute truth than the Brahmana. So it's interesting here how the Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport different backgrounds of the Vaishnavas, and how actually in the society many times caste Brahmanas don't accept Vaishnavas coming from different backgrounds as kind of exalted as it is described in the Shastras itself. So this may be understood. It is a product of kind of a degradation or a higher or actually lower, level of understanding of the scriptural injunctions. We see that there, just to illustrate how there are different kinds of Brahmanas, the degradation that historically kind of in a line, historical line to describe degradation starts basically with the creation of the universe. Actually, it's a kind of a continuous cycle that goes on, as everything else in this material universe. So initially, Bhrigu Muni describes in Matsya Purana that there were all the people created were practically of a Brahminical conduct. They had a Brahminical nature. But due to their activities, so therefore it matters also, I'm just emphasizing the acts that person performs, he becomes degraded basically to the lower positions. So those Brahmanas who were kind of attached to, this described in Matsya Purana, to kind of a, some kind of a violent activities or were kind of a, some kind of sensual enjoyment, more kind of a lusty nature, that those Brahmanas actually became degraded to the, they assumed the color red color, and they assumed the position of the kshatriyas. They actually attained the kshatriya hood. And the brahmanas were kind of performing activities of a agriculture and trading, and they didn't perform their own, they didn't continue to perform their own brahminical duties, became degraded to the position of vaishyas. And then the brahmanas who didn't perform their duties of who fell down from the conduct of purity and truthfulness, and who were just performing some kind of service to the others, they assumed the dark kind of a quality, I mean, not a quality, but the complexion, actually, and they became akshudras. So this is how Matsya Purana describes the condition of the degradation, basically, in the universal society at that point, and how the different, and of course, we know, according to different yugas, the degradation, it's kind of a constant, and the brahmanas, because they perform different kinds of activities, assumed and therefore different kind of position. Also, degradation, it's very prominent in this Kali Yuga itself of the Brahminical society, which we, of course, started with Sringi, the Brahmin boy Sringi, who had a power, who had the Brahminical power, but because he lacked in culture and he was immature in understanding and knowledge, he actually kind of started at the first gliding rock, basically, of degradation in the Kali Yuga for the Brahminical society. And therefore, if we trace the history back down, then we can see how the Karma Mimamsa became very prominent, and in the name of sacrifices, brahmanas were just basically committing a violence. And then again, the brahmanas, another kind of brahmanas appeared, which supported the philosophy of Lord Buddha, which also didn't have a proper understanding, basically. So they were also degraded, but in another sense, as well as the brahmanas, there is a record basically of different kinds of brahmanas who were kind of involved and prominent in those types of propagation of those types of philosophies, basically. And then the brahmanas who supported Shankaracharya, which is again Vaishnav Siddhanta. Then if you come in closer in the kind of so more recent history, then the brahmanas who were very strict with the so-called their brahminical principles, and in the Mughal time, persons who kind of were in some way affected by or were in a touch with the Muslims at that point, they were kind of ostracized from the society, and they were very rigorous. Such were we know cases from even Chaitanya Charitamrita, where personalities would kind of advise rather to eat the drink some kind of a molten metal substance, basically, to kind of purify themselves, which would basically mean to die, purify themselves from any touch with some kind of a personalities of the Muslim faith, rather than anything else, with the performance of anything else. And then instead of that, actually, I forget who the person was, actually. Who? Subhudirai, okay, yeah. So, but he was actually advised just to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna and become a purified, right? So that was the means of the purification for ultimately. But the brahmanas were so rigorous that they didn't accept anybody back in the Hindu society. So that's another kind of a symptom of actually misunderstanding of the brahminical position, real brahminical position. And then again, if we come down in a more recent history, then we will find the brahmanas who were propagating industrialization, and even kind of a little further, again, those which were helping Indologists to propagate the Christian doctrine and to present the Vedic literature as a mythological and not the real one. And therefore, we have a society basically degraded, as we can notice it practically nowadays, just because of influence of the higher orders of the society, wherein they didn't really understand what means the brahminical principle, and what means the duties actually that they should perform, and the qualities. Of course, I'm just trying to compare this to the situation when Srila Prabhupada, wherein he's explaining here how the brahmana, actually the real brahmana, is a person actually. The highest position of a brahmana is the one who becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it doesn't matter what kind of a background he comes from. because so many times the devotees are kind of accused of their lower position and performing brahminical activities, and they're excused of not having the qualities or qualifications to perform such kind of activities. Like, for example, the main one, of course, is the deity worship. But those brahmanas, as we see, those who are kind of the most critical of the devotees, and the line, of course, the injunctions which are given in our line, they themselves are also basically not performing any kinds of brahminical activities, and are, according to the scriptures, if we analyze, practically the most degraded personalities. So this is a big contrast. I'll try to illustrate it. I'll try to explain what is the point, because the most common objections that the devotees are facing, because we know that Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, one of the objections was why he's giving brahminical initiation to the woman, why he is, you know, initiating lechas and yavanas into brahminical order. Also, that refers basically nowadays in the Indian society, the devotees who are coming not from the brahminical background. So that accusation also falls on them in such a way. So in order to defend, we have to understand the real injunctions of the Shastras. So their main accusation is that a brahmana, in order to be a brahmana and perform the activities of a brahmana, such as a deity worship, the person has to be born in a brahmana family. But again, if we compare to their, basically, some of their, basically, their background, we understand that the quote which is given from the Harita Smriti, that the person born from a brahmana mother and a brahmana father, it's considered to be a brahmana. But also from different Smriti Shastras, it is explained that a person doesn't just have to be born from brahminical father and a mother, but the person can also have different kind of qualities. Or just, for example, Mahabharata, we find many different verses, like the one where Shiva, Lord Shiva speaks to Uma, that the person, according to his qualification, can be termed as a brahmana, vaishya, shudra, or a kshatriya. There are so many such kind of verses, especially in Mahabharata, Puranas, of course, but also in the Smritis, which most prominently the so-called smarta brahmanas basically are quoting. Another objection that is very prominent is that which we usually kind of present from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that a Chaturvajna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Shahat, wherein Krishna says actually that a person assumes particular varna by guna and karma. And then the objection is given that according to guna and karma, the person takes birth already in a particular family. So then why would we say that after taking birth, then person would kind of assume particular varna and activities, karma? So the point is that, again, if you look through the different points of the, through the different scriptures and scriptural injunctions, we can see that there are so many another examples where persons didn't appear in the brahmana families, but they assumed the position of the brahminical status. And this is, we can see from the example of Lord Rishabdev, who had 81 sons of Lord Rishabdev, who was a kshatriya, they became a brahmanas. In 9th canto, there are several such kind of examples from kshatriya background, many personalities attained the brahminhood. There is an example of Vishwamitra, who by the power of austerity attained the brahminhood. There is the most famous example on which even Madhvacharya gives a commentary of Jabali in Chandogya Upanishad, wherein he approached the Gautama Muni in order to receive instructions from him. And then when Gautama Muni asked him, what is your background, who is your father, then he sincerely, innocently replied that, I don't know. So Gautama Muni sent him back and said, oh, go and ask your mother. And when he came back and asked his mother, she said, I was just basically maidservant lady and I was here and there and everywhere and basically practically I don't know who is your father. I don't remember. So because of Jabala's actually sincerity, when he came back and inform Gautam basically of the straightforward the answer his mother gave. So Gautam Muni understood that actually that small boy is having a brahminical qualities, and he accepted him as his disciple. So then interestingly, Madhvacharya comments that he said that the nature of a brahmana is that of a simplicity and truthfulness, whereas the nature of a shudra is that of the crookedness. And therefore, the Gautam Muni, understanding that principle, accepted Jabala as his disciples. So there are so many different kinds of examples that you will find in the Shastras, referring to the personalities attaining the brahminical nature, not by a mere birth, but by performing different kinds of qualities, different kinds of activities that they attain the brahminical qualities. And that there is another objection that performing one's own, which Krishna, the verse, they usually use the verse which Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita from the third chapter, 35, that it's that a person, if a person performs the activity even imperfectly, that even, what is that, even if a person performs other duty, actually, to follow other's path is dangerous. The idea is to follow our own prescribed duty and perform the duties ascribed to our own guna and karma. But if you follow another person's duty, that this kind of a activity is very dangerous. So they were object. They say, if a person is born kind of in a lower kind of a family, so why would he forcingly try to follow somebody else's activity, like, for example, try to attain the Brahminhood for which actually he is not kind of qualified or meant to follow. So again, the same principle of the understanding that coming from a lower background is not such an important objection, actually, that it kind of implies the Nartak Martanga Nyaya logic, that if a person is kind of born naked, that he has to remain naked, but that's not the case. So a person, naturally, when he grows up, he covers himself because of maturing in his understanding and in relationship to society. And anyway, so the whole point, again, there are many scriptural injunctions which point out that a person doesn't remain on the same position, but he advances in his understanding, and even such understands in his position of varmana according to the qualities that he cultivates. So it's again the activity which matters. And there are so many verses supporting this, from especially Kurma Purana and Padma Purana. So it's not a matter of birth again and particular kinds of activities, but it's a matter birth birth position, but it's a matter of the activities. So many such kind of objections we can face basically nowadays in the society, which, as we know, as I was trying to point out earlier, led actually to the whole and complete degradation of the society nowadays, because such personalities who are mostly kind of on the case of the devotees, so to say, are actually they themselves not performing properly the brahminical conduct and the duties, and therefore this led practically to the degradation of the whole society in general today. As we see, even brahmanas, practically, they can't perform any religious activity. Actually, as Padma Purana states, they're becoming professional thieves in a way, trying to collect funds and money just for sake of their own sustenance, or they're assuming jobs which, again, according to Smritis or Manusmriti, is very much condemned, in a sense that a person who assumes such kind of a position, even though he might become as they say, they're using their own intelligence in the service of some kind of personalities who are they're like a dogs, as Bhagavatam would say, as taking a masters from a Shudra background, and they themselves, because they're not following their particular conduct, are becoming like a Shudras. So, and it's a little technical, it's kind of sounds like a little hard to follow, but the whole point of the that conception that we have to understand the real scriptural injunctions, really, in a sense, at least to know the both points, how to refer and how to defend the Srila Prabhupada's activities in a case of trying to create a Brahminical society wherein the Krishna consciousness can be spread. So, because the Brahminical nature, we know, is the assuming the head of the society and the leading whole society, the point is that Brahmanas as well as the Kshatriyas, who are representing the higher order of the society, they're the most, they're capable of rendering the most selfless service. So therefore they're exalted. In the case of Vaishyas and Shudras, Vaishyas are mostly concerned to find the means to earn money and maintain the family. Shudras are mostly concerned to maintain their body by engaging in some kind of a sense enjoyment. But Brahmanas are so selfless that the mentality of a selfless service is the most prominent in the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas. And such kind of a cultivation, actually. But even higher than that of the Brahmanas, it's the selflessness of the Vaishnavas which is explained. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they can even sacrifice their own family. They can even sacrifice their own body. There are so many examples for this. For example, Dadichi Muni was approached by Indra for the sake of the whole society, so he sacrificed his own body so that Indra can make a thunderbolt out of his bones. But in the case of Brahmanas, Vaishnavas are even not just selflessly trying to serve society in some way by sacrificing their body or family, they're ready to sacrifice their soul. This is the mentality, actually, of the Vaishnavas themselves. They're ready to go, like we know in examples of Prahlad Maharaj or Vasudev Datta, they're able to, just for the sake of elevation of the other spirit souls, they're able to go to eternal hellish existence, just in order to elevate everybody else from their fallen position. So the main point, actually, that we find here in the descriptions of our different kind of Brahmanas, their qualities, that the Vaishnavas, they're on far higher position than anybody else, because, as I said, the most selflessly serve everybody else in terms of trying to elevate them from the conditioned consciousness in this material world to the position of the devotional service. And here Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he explains how different kinds of Brahmanas, again, in different degradation, there is a variety. As we find in Garuda Purana, it is stated, out of many of thousands of Brahmanas, some may be qualified to perform sacrifice, and out of such thousands of those who are qualified to perform sacrifice, there is a one who is real in a real knowledge. And the one, out of such, and a few out of many of such who are in the real knowledge, one is a devotee of a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this one is considered to be the best. So that's similar that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddha yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha, that it's actually very rare that a person becomes a devotee of the Lord, out of so many who are sick, searching for perfection. So that emphasizes here, basically, between the different gradations in the society and the topmost position of the Vaishnava, that how Vaishnava plays the most important role in the society, because he doesn't lead, again, in the continuous entanglement in this material world, but it leads the person out of this material existence. Because in the verse it is said that giving the charity to different kinds of personalities, the persons may achieve liberation or a particular benefit in this material world. So if a person gives a charity to a Karmakanda Brahmana, he receives some kind of a benefit. But if he gives to a Jnanakanda Brahmana, he receives the little better benefit, little higher benefit. But later on, it is explained in the further verse, if he gives a charity to a person who is Vaishnava, the benefits are immense, practically. So why the benefit is immense? Because giving a charity to a Vaishnava, actually the person receives the blessing of a Vaishnava, and getting in touch in a Vaishnava, he may, again, progress in a spiritual matter, not just in some kind of a improving his material situation in this material world, but also improving his knowledge and understanding, achieving the real liberation from the clutches of material miseries. And the real liberation, it doesn't mean just basically different kinds of liberation. Of course, we know there are five, but the most prominent in this sense would be kind of merging with the Brahman. Not again Brahman, like which most of the Brahmanas who are performing such kind of activities are trying to attain, but the liberation, which is actually liberation that removes the three modes of material nature, that liberates us from the three modes of material nature. This is what the position of Vaishnava actually is. Vaishnava is on the level of Shuddha Sattva. That means he is not, or a devotee basically, when perfectly, when completely liberate, is on the position of the Shuddha Sattva, which is not touched by any lower mode or any other mode, even including the Sattva Guna. And Brahmanas are still always, even though they may be in a Sattva Guna performing Brahminical activities, they're always prone to fall in some way to the lower modes or be influenced by the lower modes. As we know, in the case of Brahmanas, who Krishna, from whom Krishna asked the charity of a food when they were performing sacrifice described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, they were very much self-centered practically. They were just concerned to perform any kinds of activities, not for real understanding of the absolute truth, but to increase their own ego practically. Because all the qualities that they were possessing actually were tinged with the idea that they were controllers, that they were enjoyers. So whatever purity, whatever knowledge, whatever austerity they had, they actually performed the activities in such a way just to increase their false position of being enjoyer and controller in this material world. So they were considering themselves more pure than the others, more knowledgeable than the others. So whatever activities they performed, it just served to basically increase their false position of thinking that they are this material body in this material world. So when Maharaj Parikshit, interestingly, when he heard this description from Shukadev Goswami, and when he heard that they refused to give food to Krishna, so Maharaj Parikshit became pretty angry, pretty much angry, that Brahmanas didn't serve Lord Krishna because he was on the level of a Vaishnava. And being tuned into the feelings of Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami understood that, and he addressed him as Parantapa, which means O chastiser of the enemies. But he said, still, although they are Brahmanas, he just showed immediately in the next verse trying to present the situation, how Krishna understood the whole pastime. As he said, Krishna, just hearing that from the boys, he actually just laughed. So the whole point that Shukadev Goswami stresses out is to Maharaj Parikshit that still, although they've committed a mistake, still they're Brahmanas. So Krishna also didn't take this very seriously. Still they're Brahmanas. So we should follow the system. So even nowadays, as I said, of course, we are facing so many kind of accusations, but the following the system and understanding that Brahminical principle has to be there, and better, and in a sense we have to be careful how to deal with such kind of accusations, not in a way not to be offensive towards the persons who are in a Brahminical order. And that's a very sensitive topic, definitely, and especially when we come to the different places and maybe are allowed or not allowed in the particular temples and are kind of forced to give some kind of a donation. And even when this is not enough, there are so many different means that they're using. So, but still, the whole point is of that respect, that if we rebel against the kind of a Brahminical status, then some persons are have acquired in some way, then we ourselves again might be guilty of committing some kind of offense. So it's a very subtle thing. I mean, there is no time. I mean, that would actually be very, I mean, in detail to discuss. It is very important to understand, I mean, how to deal with the personalities who are, as I said, became degraded, and there are different levels of the Brahminical order, and not understanding the highest position of the Vaishnava, but still Vaishnavas, but still somehow or other they are, according to scriptures, dear to the to Krishna. So we know Brahmanas and cows are the most dearest to Krishna. So somehow or other, at least they respect the system. Not to go to the system which is prescribed in the Vedic Shastras, the four orders. Or the, from our Vaishnav point of view, those four orders are of the lower importance, but still they're presenting the stepping stone towards understanding of the devotional service. So we may definitely speak against the miswrongs and misconceptions of such kind of personalities, but not to disrupt the orders basically set up by Krishna himself, Chaturvarnya Maya Srishtam, again. So in order to understand the highest position of the Vaishnavas, definitely we have to preach and present the real scriptural points which are given in other shastras as well, so that persons also who are kind of getting in touch with the devotional service may get the proper understanding and acquire faith in the teachings that are represented, of course, in our disciplic succession. And in this way, not be confused by the, again, accusations by the personalities who are not accepting, say, ISKCON as a bona fide society, or society they may that may disseminate proper spiritual knowledge. It's kind of a time. So, Hare Krishna, are there maybe any questions or comments? It's a little bit tough one. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.